have been very spoiled on this podcast. We're usually recording in a fancy studio that Brian, the producer, sneaks us into at night at his day job. But he got a new day job, and I don't have a studio to sneak into yet.
Oh,
so
no.
Now we're doing it old school Mormon and the Meth Head style in my living room, my echoey living room. So he's going to love cleaning this up. Guys, I am here with Water Baby Taro, who you've all heard me talk about and blab about in the group and probably quote several times on the podcast, but this is my favorite reader from YouTube.
Hey guys, how are you?
This is so exciting. There are so many things that I've been trying to find a guest to talk about that I think we're going to get to talk about here today. God, where do we start? Well, here's some subjects. Twin flames. Mm. Everyone sick who's not a twin is sick of hearing me talk about it. Timelines. Timeline healing is something I've heard you reference a couple of times that I would love to get into.
Yeah, timelines are really interesting, especially right now, because there's so much changing with the timelines. I feel like especially this past week, I've been waking up every day feeling another shift or another change. Within the timelines, and specifically around generational curses as well. That's also been pretty big and prevalent that I've noticed.
Yeah.
This is going to sound really interesting, actually. So I had my DNA tested a while back, and I received, you know, the whole breakdown of like what I was, and I delved into my family history to confirm that. And I was like, okay, yeah, good, good, good. And recently someone had asked me about that, and I was like, oh, sure, let me pull up the report. I pull it up and it's completely different.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I kind of freaked out. I was almost angry about it, to be honest, but it was completely different in every single way, except for my indigenous ancestry was still the same.
So this is like the Mandela effect, but on your DNA report.
Yeah, and it was making me crazy because I memorized it to the T, and then I started trying to recall it, and I realized I was having trouble recalling it, but I knew it had changed completely. And so it was very
fascinating. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
These mics kind of suck, so you got to kind of eat them a little bit.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
There you
I'll
go.
Get real close and personal.
So this is interesting because timelines, multiple dimensions. I don't like to use dimensions because I kind of understand like dimensions more as like downloads that give you access to more things. But some things that are interesting about people's obsession with facts. People's obsession with facts and also our obsession with memory.
Yeah.
And two things that memory's gone. What is memory, honestly?
Yeah exactly.
But if we're hopping on and off timelines every time we go to sleep, memory would be a hindrance to our sanity, I think, right?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. Especially as timelines change, quote unquote memories, whatever you'd want to call that, would change accordingly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So you remembering what was on your
on my
DNA
report,
thing.
Yeah, because I was obsessed with it for a good period of time because I was so fascinated by understanding my family's history because I wasn't allowed to know for my whole life.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a whole interesting other topic. And I practically memorized it. So when I pulled it up this time and I hadn't looked at it in probably a good like couple years, and with all this timeline changing, this was actually just a couple days ago, I knew it was different. Like I knew it was, and I was like, okay, well I know timelines are changing. And so I knew it had to be something with that. Especially because I know a lot of my own timelines personally have been around my family and generational curses.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I need to get into past lives. Apparently I was a certified hypnotist at one point in one of the million things I thought, oh, I should just do this for a living. And, we did age regression. It was like therapeutic hypnosis. And we did age regression to figure out where the symptom was created, which is weird because it's like what I do now. But at one point they were like, you could just age regress them back into past lives. Like you could do this all day and take them back to whatever past life, but there's no reason to because they forget them. We all forget them for a reason. I was like, all right, that checks out. And then now past lives are coming up like crazy.
Yeah.
In readings, they're coming up. And then I don't want to say this stuff in readings because it feels like such a cop out. I just feel like, oh, here's this thing that doesn't resonate. This is because it was in your past life. I hate it.
Yeah. Like that started happening to me, I would say, in the last few months. And I'm like, do I say this? Do I not share this?
Yes.
I'm like, ah. And then especially because what you get is usually traumatic or yep. gruesome or really horrible. And it's like, ah, just, all right, I got to say it. I'll just say it. Here. Here's the info. Do whatever you want with that.
Yep.
Okay. Sometimes what comes through with past lives is so, I mean, just like, you know, making those little connections here and there. It's like, okay, I'll try to make sense of this. I'll sit with this and see what else comes through. And sometimes, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. Truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah. I mean, it resonates so hard. It clicks so hard that it's, and the past life stuff is becoming very clear to me. It's been a couple months. When you started talking about past lives on YouTube, I was like, God damn. Cause it was whatever that July between the eclipse, that fucking awful ass July.
July, just like
drowning.
Awful.
Yeah. Drowning through that energy. And then, like the readings were just like all this past life stuff. So I do still get a little squirrely with it, but just the last couple days I was like, why don't you lean into it? They're calling for a fucking tarot reading from a person who talks to aliens all day. I don't think they're gonna be like past lives. And I'm hoping that this is us scraping the bottom of the trauma barrel is why we're dipping into past lives.
I would say yes for the most part. The most part, especially like you said, given like how much has been coming forward, and even for myself, I've been able to see past lives for a while, and I've been really pushing it off because people get so attached to the event instead of just healing it and accepting it and kind of moving on from it. But now that I've started doing the past life sessions on Patreon, I'm happy I'm doing it. But at the same time, it's still very intense. Like some of the stuff that comes forward. I don't know if this is like too gruesome. I was like, this one was an intense one. I had someone asking me why they were having such issues balancing their chakras and getting grounded and aligned. And I was like, oh, well, let's just try and see what comes through. And I started to see all of these images of body mutilation and corpse mutilation, disembowelments, things like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they showed me the energetic channels through this guy's chakras, where it's almost like if you see a highway, you got like four or five lanes, it would almost be like one lane was just dark. So it wasn't full capacity of energy could come through because of all of that trauma. And there is also that topic of corpse mutilation and how that can affect you even if it's just the body that you inhabited.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's also that connection to Egyptians, especially was highlighted recently. Like for example, King Tut is probably a good example of that. The way King Tut was buried was very quick. It was hasty. It wasn't normal. You know, they always did the whole removing of the organs and they put them in the jars.
Yeah.
With him, they didn't do that. And like his heart was missing, but it wasn't put in a jar. It's like things like that where corpses have been messed with in a very atypical way or not held to the standard, but there's no clear reasoning as to why that would happen.
Right.
Right. But yeah, so I was telling this guy about this and he's like, oh, he's like, what do I do to heal that? And I was like, shit. Well, I was like, to my best knowledge, you can try Reiki, but I'll be honest. I don't know if that's enough. And I said, I think you'd have to see someone special who specializes in energetic cords and things of that nature. Like Adriana, for example, specializes in that.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. I think that was kind of my stance on past lives, which was just deal with your shit right now. But it really is like, cause some of the trauma that's coming up for people is so small. Not small. The example that I've been using is like people with good parents, you know, so they don't look for the trauma there because they're like, well, my parents were good. And it's like, yeah, I mean, from your adult perspective, your parents were good. But like for your, you know, dad was busy and shushed you away when you tried to show him your art. adult you is like, yeah, that was busy. But like 4-year old you is like, oh, I'm not wanted or oh, my art is bad. You know, even parents with the best intentions, we were still fragmented by gender roles and beauty standards and everything else, just society just like cut little pieces of us off, you know?
Oh yeah.
And so there's been a lot of like putting those pieces back together, but then there's still like trauma loops that like are connecting back. So I'm just really hopeful that we're now we have to go back to past lives and heal that. And then we are not like we're done healing, but kind of like we're done healing, you know,
doing a lot of batching at once, I guess is the best way to say that.
Yeah. I think, so the timeline thing, do you think we're collectively jumping to different, like, what is your understanding of how the timelines work?
So I'm still learning a lot when it comes to timelines, but from my understanding, there are mass events that affect the collective. Mm-hmm. And then there are events within like family networks that is within the larger energetic network. So at this time, I feel like it's more mass events are being okay. addressed. And I think that's why so many people are feeling it in such a big way.
Right.
And it's not just, you know, a small group of people here and there. It's like, I'm seeing it in almost everyone I've ever known. It's like, because especially with my channel, more and more people are trying to get back in touch with me, asking me all these questions, especially this week. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, everyone's kind of feeling this one right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as the smaller events, I think it also depends on, like, counterparts, for example. I feel like timelines where they've been a key part in things like the Egyptian cultures and things like that.
Yeah.
I think those were addressed first. And now we're moving more into what affects the larger energetic network is the best way that I'm thinking of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I get a lot of information from TV shows that seem designed specifically to give me information.
Yeah.
Some of those, Russian Doll was just spoiler alert, was about twins, and it was about they end up in a loop until they fix their trauma and then they get out of the loop. I think Maniacs, spoiler alert, similar thing. But the OA. Did you watch the OA?
No. I haven't gotten a chance to.
A lot of timeline stuff. So as I was like, okay, so now there are timelines. And then after a while, they came into focus that they were like right next to each other.
Yeah.
And so then I start working on methods to get like to point at the timeline. Because now it's much less about attracting parts of reality to me. And now it's about stepping onto a timeline. And as I started to figure that out, a friend of mine was like, have you ever heard of reality transurfing or dimension jumping? And I'm like, no. And so I start looking into this and then I start doing dimension jumping. And reality transurfing just says like, there's a mass of variations and like an endless amount of variations and they all kind of run into each other. Mm-hmm. And so there's ways to like surf them or whatever.
Right. That makes sense.
And, I have the 800 page book and in true Jessa form, I, just like have not read it. I use it like an oracle. Sometimes I like open it to a page and I'm like, this is the part I'm supposed to read. But I talk like an expert. I talk like such an expert about reality transurfing that when they started a podcast, I was like the third guest, but I literally have just read an article about reality transurfing. Yeah. So that's me in a nutshell. I like to talk like I'm an expert about shit I know nothing about, but it's got some pretty interesting stuff about riding, like the wave of luck is like when you have like a like really lucky day, that's like a more favorable timeline,
mm-hmm.
a more positive timeline bumping into your timeline. And if you can ride that vibration, you can go with it.
Okay. Yeah.
But likewise, there are more negative timelines and people tend to enjoy riding those ones. And that's something I'd already figured out with manifestation is if you get a parking ticket, don't give it any attention because then next thing you know, you get a flat tire and a bill, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, all that to say, I have been working on this theory that there is a way for us collectively to get off of this timeline. And I hadn't really thought of the idea of healing timelines. So that was something I heard you.
Well, and the whole time you were talking, I kept thinking about the mutations. 'Cause when energy gets impacted by such traumatic events and we hold on to it as opposed to like you were just saying, it's like giving it attention versus not giving it attention. Right. And that's never really dealt with. And that just keeps mutating along the way to the point where sometimes blueprints can get mutated. Even within our own DNA, there's some kind of cosmic mutation going on there. And so as we do these timeline healings and even just the inner work ourselves, we can start getting rid of those mutations. And so, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
And I think, you know, just kind of what you were talking about, I was kind of seeing that where we can do more of these, like you were saying, jumping onto timelines because the mutations are no longer blocking us from that because things are being put right. Things are becoming more for lack of a better word, positive. I feel like that's not the best word to use.
Yeah, I hate, yeah.
Because it's like, I know there's a better word for
that.
I
like favorable,
yeah,
you
favorable.
Know.
Let's go with favorable.
Harmonious, I don't know.
Oh, harmonious, there you go. I like
so
harmonious.
So mutation, like cancer? Or
like
distortion?
Like a cosmic cancer, energetic cancer. I would, yeah, actually, yeah, an energetic cancer. That is a great way to classify it. Because it's feeding, it's energy feeding onto itself. Because it's something that we're not actually correcting or doing anything with, we're just letting it fester.
Okay.
Right? The more you think of something in a negative way or an angry way, it just festers onto itself and accumulates.
Fuck, I love this. Okay, so 9/11.
Yeah.
I think you're a lot younger than me, but like 9/11.
Oh, I'm a little older than I look.
Yeah. 9/11, I woke up a year, I think, before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought we were getting this show on the road 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And when 9/11 happened, there was a weird thing where I was in the ether with the aliens and we were all standing around a circle and everybody threw a match in. And then I woke up and the towers had hit. So yeah. I don't know. We have something, but like, but I was still very in this thinking I could wake everybody up and like very attached to the outcome phase of my awakening. I was still very immature in it, but watching what happened to the collective, because there was an awakening, yes, happening. And I used to believe that the people that want us to stay asleep or whatever, the parasites created that to get everybody back down in the fear-based reality. And now I play with the idea like, it kind of had to happen that way. But the trauma.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Corrupted and got gross in so many different ways.
Right. And no one really addressed why they were feeling what they were feeling. They just felt and they just ran with it. And it festered and we never really dealt with that. And we still see remnants of that now. And I think that's actually, to be honest, I think that's some of the mutations that were being taken care of this week.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. So this is an episode, we just did this episode on, and this is one of my more controversial opinions, is that we have everything's a vampire to me right now because it's just like an energy we're trying to deal with. I feel like we got some 5D downloads and then the vampires, I use vampires and narcissists interchangeably, but
well, yeah,
the parasites, whatever the fuck they are. I feel like people are being constantly triggered by whatever the powers that be, the elite, the media, whatever. And we buy into it. And I have been saying for a couple of years on podcast, if we unplug from that, we can dethrone that pendulum, is what it's called in reality transurfing. But like, that is a thing that we are feeding.
Oh, yeah.
That is a timeline that we are feeding. And we did an episode about, because Aaron is Mormon, ex-Mormon, and he was like, I feel like Revelations is playing out right now. And I was like, yeah, it is. He's like, but the elite are going to like win. And I'm like, they're not. But I mean, they are probably on some timeline, but
sure.
Like, they are right now because everyone who has the creative power to create reality just talks about how powerful they are all day.
Yeah, exactly. And just feeds more of that energy into itself. Yeah.
And so this was something that we talked about, like because it just sounds, I'm always afraid of just sounding like some privileged person saying we don't have to worry about any of this. And that's definitely not, I think that people feel like worrying is a noble act and it isn't. It's like, we could every time. Okay. So every time something happens where I'm worried about money, I figure out how to make money. I take that anxious. I don't let it become anxious, creative, poverty attracting energy. I just go, time to figure out how to make it.
Just time to get to work.
Come up with a new hustle.
Yeah.
And that I just do that. And so I kind of feel the same way. Like, kids in camps is terrible. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's being put in our face to fuck with us. Like, that's what it feels like. From a place of discernment, it feels like they want you to know that you have no power. They want you to think you have no power. They want you to talk about how you have no power. When I say they, I don't know. I hate the idea of they and some external enemy, but whatever.
Yeah.
This video game, whatever the flying fuck this is, these parasites. I believe that we are powerful enough to bring the world to a place where we have justice and we live in harmony and everything else. But like, we can't do it if we are having a panic attack in our bedroom, glued to our phones, complaining about how unpowerful we are.
That's definitely. No, I agree. I mean, it's just that same concept of we're in a new timeline. we can't act the same because we're in a new timeline.
Right.
Like, why would anything change if we did the same thing over and over and over again?
Right.
Yeah, I think there just needs to be a new approach and a new understanding, just like the way we go about manifestation. If the collective just manifested New Earth, like, as a whole, we would see massive change very quickly.
Right.
Yeah, very quickly.
The things, I just want to tell you all the things that I know and see what you know about them.
No, it's cool. It's funny when you're talking about worry, you flash me back to my childhood so quickly.
Yeah.
Because my mom is awake now. And it's interesting looking back because she had such insights into self-love and what we talk about now in the community. And she was trying to teach me that as a kid, even though, you know, sometimes she didn't put into practice. I love you, Mom. Sorry.
Yeah.
But worry was one of her trigger words. She's like, don't ever say that word. And I never understood why. And
man, that's good programming.
It is. It is good programming. I mean, I'm a stubborn Scorpio, so it made me insane because I didn't understand. And I'd ask her and I'd say, Mom, you're worried. I'm like, she's like, I'm not worried. I never worry. And that would make me crazy just because I didn't understand it. I get it now. I get it now. But yeah, totally flashback.
It is. I can't remember this stupid fucking thing. I was so insufferable when I first woke up. But I remember writing this like declaration, and one of the things was like, people get so mad when you won't help them worry about shit, but people really do act like it's an irresponsible act. And I'm like, no, I don't. You want to storm the thing. Let's go do it. I don't care. You know, I'll like, let's do something. But I think that if we heal our trauma and we wake up that, my theory and all of this, I think is maybe a program that's running, but what it feels like, and this was kind of the explanation I was given, but every explanation I'm given, I'm like, or do I just need to believe that till I finish learning my lessons and then I find out it's something else? But I'd ask what the reptilian agenda was, because this is way back when the reptilian agenda was like only thing you could find on weird websites, you know?
Yeah.
And they said that there were some parasites, some beings that aren't gods, like they're not creator. They can't create reality. And the only way that they can create reality is to kind of trick people who can create reality into creating their reality for them.
Yeah.
And so therefore they, and this would be the elites or whatever, are actually like not elites at all. They're like tapeworms. Mm-hmm. And they have to keep everybody tricked into, basically we create their badass reality by bitching about their badass reality. And I think, first of all, that's a fantastic movie plot. It's sure. just like you wake up and realize you're God and you've been like a host, you know, just like, but via complaining, you know. It's brilliant. It's actually kind of brilliant, but I don't remember where I was going with that. But a friend of mine, but there's a worrying thing, because then would they act like worrying is a virtue, but it doesn't come with action a lot. I'm just not saying anything about action. Action toward the solution tips the scales towards the solution, right? I feel like this is like such dumb vision board stuff. But like,
no, but it's just, it's true. And people miss out on the basics. You know what I mean? And it is a basic, but so many people just don't understand that worrying is just a waste of energy unless you turn it into something productive, like you were saying, just motivating yourself, right?
Yeah.
Instead of sitting
like,
scared.
We have to do something. And I'm like, okay, but we haven't done anything. What we've done is spent 7 hours on Twitter talking about the problem. So now the problem's just bigger.
Yeah.
This is why Trump is not going anywhere. Somehow, if we don't get the fuck off of this current program, this dude's going to be here for 5 terms because we have turned him into a god. Dude, the people that don't like him have built him, he is such a gigantic force, but it's because we've made him, and it's hard because he's hard to not make fun of.
Yeah, he's hard to not talk about, right?
Yeah. No, it's, dude, I loved George Bush, how dumb he was, and I can't even, you can't even compare the two. He's endearing compared to this one.
He's adorable.
So yeah, I've been on this vampire thing. I think you've got the parasites, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems that on a smaller scale, the kind of people that aren't choosing for whatever reason to evolve right now, or, you know, the people that vampires, the people not capable, or who cares? I don't know. I end up getting it. I don't want to like debate whether or not they're redeemable. I have no idea how this plays out, but for now, the narcissistic types that just want to feed.
Yeah.
they got to get the fuck out, right? And so they come up in almost everybody's. It's getting a little bit better, but they were coming up in everybody's reading.
Oh, it was constant. I was so sick of saying narc over and over and over again. Yeah.
And it's like, get your mom out of here. Get, you know what I mean? It's like a fucking exes and, you know. And anyway, she said that she was meditating and ended up above the atmosphere and saw these. They look like spiders.
Oh, wow.
But gigantic, and then their legs, they were black and shadowy, and then their legs were coming down onto Earth, and then every leg had a talon on it, and the talons were connected.
Interesting.
To everybody.
Okay.
And she said, my guide said, we have to get these talons out right now. Like, these talons are slowing it down. We have to get these talons out now. And talked about that on the podcast, and then multiple people had been dreaming about them. And then she told me that I didn't have a talon in me. I had strings, which I had already tuned into strings and was already dealing with my own vampire. But that was really interesting. I was curious if you hadn't seen anything or had any ideas what that might.
I'm not familiar with the talons, but I'm also kind of not surprised at the same time.
Yeah.
Especially just my whole life, I've been surrounded by narcissists. It just seems to happen when you're a light worker, I guess. It's just part of the, you know, package. You just kind of draw them in. But in a way that does make a lot of sense as far as like you're connected to a talon versus you're connected to energetic cords or what have you.
Yeah.
Because I imagine it's just with the talons, it is just a void at some point from that source, right?
And that's what she said it had to do with the 3D, like the old reality, the systems of the old reality, that they kind of like they had different things for to keep everybody the kind of everyone had been being steered and controlled.
Yeah.
And that now that was kind of like vying for control still. And I guess that kind of makes sense because even just the systems, the parameters, the constructs was the word I was looking for of, you know, our false identity, I guess.
Yeah. But and I feel like, sorry, not to cut you off. No, I feel like with narcissists especially, it's like they need to suck on energy. Like they have to. They can't function without it.
Yeah.
And as people wake up, they're not going to be able to do that. And you can't really suck on another narcissist from another narcissist.
Yeah.
Can't suck on anything from a void to a void. So I think that's actually going to affect those people that need to be cleared out quite quickly once we hit like 2022, 2024. 2020 is going to be a big year without a doubt. But I feel like once we get more to like 2024, I think that's when Uranus changes out of Taurus. And I think that's where we're going to see a lot of really interesting stuff as far as the next phase of where we're going to.
Yeah. 4 years, huh? I guess that's 5 years.
Yeah, technically, I'm like, my head's already in 2020. Yeah. But yeah, no, you're right. We're in 2019.
Same me too. So I was like, that's 4 years. And I was like, Jessa, math is hard. Yeah, the thing with the narcissist, and I know it's like I live in a bubble right now, surrounded by people kind of all on the same, in the same phase. But it's been like, I don't know. It's been a very quick awakening for a lot of people, realizing people they didn't know were narcissists are narcissists. Smaller, what do I call them? Like innocuous vampires, like the passive aggressive.
Yeah. Like kind of like hybrids in a way. Yeah.
Like a person who's probably, cause you have the straight up void, right? You have the straight up, this person's not.
Yeah.
I get some shit sometimes for saying this, but they're not redeemable.
Oh, I agree. Oh God, I agree.
And like they never take responsibility for their shit, which is pretty much how you can tell, you know, cause I think a lot of us, codependents and stuff have some narcissistic traits, but
yeah, there you go. Oh yeah. My whole family's narcissist, honestly, my whole family's narcissist. Like I would say with the exception of maybe two or three family members. Yeah. And I have no shame in talking about that. But one in particular, an aunt of mine, my God, I like talk about a major void. It's like, it's to levels where she even has abilities too. There's a lot of people with abilities in my family where she'll try things even in the 5D because I've detached myself. And so has my mom who also has abilities. And some of the shit she tries to do even in the 5D because she just needs more and more and more. And she has so many of my family members just entranced and giving her as much energy as possible, right?
Oh, shit. They can come to 5D?
Yeah, well, I don't think all of them can. I think if they're hungry enough.
Yeah, I didn't even know they could have abilities.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That, the difference between, do you, this is something I've observed, the difference between... You know how there are just families that have abilities?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they pass down the abilities. It's kind of like a generational thing.
Yeah.
Versus like a person who's kind of the one person in their family who just like got abilities from waking up or something.
Right.
There's something very interesting about that to me.
I think so too. For me, it's generational. For me, it's definitely generational on both sides of my family.
And with the family being aware of it?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing that kills me. It's like they're aware, but they don't want to make those steps to, like, deal with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just one of those things that was always just kind of unspoken. And we would mention little things like, oh, yeah, you need to go sage that house. Like, we'll say things like that.
Yeah.
But then we don't really talk about anything else beyond that.
That's so interesting.
Or, like, we'll attract spirits all the time. And we'll address, like, oh, yeah, it's just a spirit. All right, yeah, just go cleanse it out. But then we don't go any further than that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then since I started my channel, it's been like it's been that pink elephant in the room where like they're really curious.
Yeah.
And they get close and like, no, I can't ask that. Like, no, that's just a little much. I'm not ready to go there. So I'm just kind of like waiting for like more phone calls and text messages.
What brought you to starting the channel?
I actually had a vision that led me to tarot. And then I just fell in love with tarot and I just became such a nerd and wanted to understand it like fully. And I actually had a former boyfriend who was a narcissist. Right. He's like, you know, maybe you should try a YouTube channel. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe I'm so like introverted. I don't know. And I thought about it and I was like, something's telling me to do it. Something's telling me to do it. And so I started watching readers on YouTube because I didn't realize that that was a thing.
Yeah.
And actually Anthony was the first person I ever watched.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And so after a while I started the channel. It was like such baby steps. I just started the channel and did nothing. I was like one thing at a time. And then I started practicing and then I just went into it. Like a month later, I posted my first video.
Oh, wow. And that was only a year ago?
Yeah. That was only a year
ago.
Holy
shit.
Yeah. It's been a crazy year.
Wow.
Yeah. But the vision I had was with my grandfather, actually.
Really?
Yeah. That was interesting. We were in the house I grew up in. And in the kitchen, there was a kitchen island that was a wood topping.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the word for it. And usually I have visions with him. He's one of my guides, one of my primary guides. And he kept saying, I really like the green room. And we didn't have any green rooms in the house. And I was like, what are you trying to tell me? I don't understand. And he just kept repeating that over and over and over. And I looked down and there was etching in the wood. And it was something that I didn't recognize. I just thought it was gibberish, like brain gibberish that maybe would make sense later. And it spelled Vavina, like V-A-V-I-N-A. I was like, I don't know what that is. And so I just kind of sat with it and I just went about my business the next day. And I was on the computer and I had YouTube just running. And like, you know, it shows like recommended and it'll just play the next next. And then I heard the green room. I know. I was like, oh, I was like, okay. And then I heard it again. And I was like, okay, I have to see what this is about. And it was actually about a shop, like a spiritual shop. And I was like, okay, I get it. So I went and looked at the shop and I'm just browsing the site and they had all their staff on there and there was someone by the name Vavina.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And so I called and I was like, hi, I'd like a session with Vavina. And she did a few things. Like, well, what would you like? And I was like, I don't know. Like, what is she like best at? Like, what is she like a favorite for? Like, oh, tarot card readings. And I was like, okay. And then I had my first tarot card reading in August of 2018.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then September, I started the channel. In October, I posted my first video.
You've been doing tarot since the 18th?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Or, 2018?
2018, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, in awe when I watch your, like, understanding of all of the cards.
Oh, I lived and breathed it. Like, I did nothing but study it, like, from books and different decks and just reading things. And, yeah. Yeah.
I started doing readings This summer, I guess. I was doing podcasts and touring, doing comedy, and then we broke up, so we had to take the summer off. And I took the summer off to start a YouTube channel because fans were like, YouTube content. And then they started Earthquake. And so the idea was I was going to do an alien school video series where I investigate whether or not I'm actually enlightened or schizophrenic, because it was just around the time that I was still riding that line, right?
Yeah.
And then they start Earthquake retrofitting the apartments, and it's so loud all day that I can't record. So I have all this equipment to do this YouTube thing, and then I can't.
Can't do it, right.
And then I went into the most, the breakup just got excruciating, and it got to the point where I couldn't function. I just laid in bed all day and was sad. And there was one YouTube reader that I watched like for the year and a half before that. And I had never like looked for anyone else. And she stopped posting. She stopped posting the day we broke up. And I was like, of all the times for you to fucking abandon me. And then at one point I was like, I'll just look someone else up, I guess. And I searched, you must have been the first one that came up, or I was watching, 'cause there's like a bunch I don't resonate with. And then I guess you popped up. And then I started watching you, and they were like, I don't even know how to fucking describe it. And I had like put myself in therapy and everything.
Yeah.
And I would sit in therapy and her eyes would glaze over. And it's like, 'cause you can't have a therapist who's not awake. They don't understand what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, and I've been drudging up trauma and processing trauma for a year and a half on my podcast. And I'm just like, but then your videos would like, there's just like take the edge off. I don't know how to describe it. It's just like he, and so then I found Anthony, and then I just started compulsively watching everyone's. There are some that don't even resonate.
Sure. Yeah.
Tyler's Tarot I watch just because it's funniest fucking shit. I'm like, please someone piss him off. He's just sweet, just so I love him.
Oh, he's hysterical.
And so then I started, I was like, this is a thing, like this is its own whole entertainment thing, and like I'm supposed to be trying to sell a TV show, but I'm like, I'm just, YouTube is fucking awesome. Like I never got into YouTube really before, and so then I'm just like, I'm like watching tarot videos to the point that there's something wrong, but yeah, because she was like, half my client base are your fans. Like they would just come get readings. And
yeah.
So then next thing I knew, I was doing that. And it ended up like completely, what it ended up being is just energy updates for the collective that already resonates with me.
Yeah.
And so I'm still like, I am going to move this to YouTube because first of all, this is exhausting, like 5 or 6 a day. And they end up kind of being a lot of the same general vibe
because,
you know, it's like the collective is on the same general thing.
Exactly. I talk about that all the time. I think it's hard for people to grasp sometimes, but it's like energy is where it's at. Like,
yeah.
Planets don't move for person to person at any given time. They are where they are. Right.
Yeah. So it's like for one person, it might be playing out as a job thing, but another person is playing out as a love thing,
yeah.
but it's still needing to clear this type of whatever. And so what I started doing was I do these energy updates on the podcast that just basically end up being based on everybody's readings. You know, like, here's where the collective is at.
Yeah.
Here's the common denominators in all your readings. So for those of you that can't afford a reading, here's your reading.
Yeah.
But I had some ideas for, I think I'm going to do, 'cause I'm obviously not going to do the alien school every attempt to do the alien school video series didn't work. 'Cause I don't think I was supposed to do it. They're like, okay. Oh, enough already. We know you're not schizophrenic. Shut up.
Oh. Well, you never know. It can always be another time. You never know. Yeah.
I think I'm going to do, funny tarot readings.
Oh, that would be killer.
Yeah. All right, so we got timelines, we did past lives. Oh, there's another thing that you talk about I would love for you to get into.
Sure.
Is, and I'm probably going to say the word wrong, but the Earth grid.
Oh, man, yeah, that's interesting stuff, especially just because that was something that was kind of always in the back of my head through my life. So I've always been a nerd, like hardcore nerd.
I like it.
I just can't help myself. And so I've always just had this understanding that we're all connected energetically, just based off of basic physics, we'd have to be,
right.
Just like we're connected with everything else. A lot of people would, you know, look at me like I'm crazy when I say that, but it just makes sense, right?
Right.
So I've always had that idea and concept in my head. And then when I started this channel and went on my journey, and then I was called to Sedona for my ascension, which was another interesting story. That's when I met Adriana, and we were talking about that. And that was the first time I saw, like actually saw the energetic cords from me into the earth, into the grid, like actually wow. seeing it. And I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't totally wrong. I wasn't totally crazy. And since then I've done a lot of grid work as far as trying to heal the energy of the earth, where the earth has been scarred by different events or even just trauma to the actual earth.
Right.
Right. From pollution and what have you, or just, you know, mining and things like that. So New Orleans is a good example of some grid work that I did there. New Orleans is it's a great city. It is a great city. Everyone should go and check it out. Very fun place, but there is a lot of trauma there for many different reasons.
Right.
And the fact that it's also swampland and all that water, it just kind of helps the energy, move faster in whatever it's trying to do, if that makes any yeah. sense. But when I got there, it was the first time I've ever felt the grid fragmented. It was almost like it was very disconnected within its own little network. Like oh, wow. if you took the city or even just the French Quarter specifically, I could feel where there were all these little disconnections, but within these disconnections, it was almost like looping of negative energy. If that makes sense.
Yes. That makes perfect yeah. sense.
And it instantly was like, oh, I need assistance. I was like, I can't really do a whole lot of fixing of this myself. And when I do grid work, I'm basically just channeling my energy into the actual grid and returning it back to myself, almost like cleansing it out.
Reiki kind of for the
yeah,
planet?
For the earth. Yeah, that's okay. a good way of describing it. Because I'm connected to a lot of different areas now because of that.
Okay.
And over time, I know I'm going to become more and more connected in certain grid areas that are very prominent. Like I'm connected in Sedona. I'm connected to at least two of the vortexes there. And I'm also connected to Diamond Head on Oahu.
Okay.
Volcanoes are really good spots to be connected to the grid just because it literally is directly from like the core of right. the earth. But in New Orleans, I was connected there just purely for the sake of constantly sending healing energy to get the grid just repaired because wow. it's so damaged. But it was hard to be in New Orleans. Like, I won't lie. Like, I just spent
yeah,
a day.
Yeah, I was watching your videos.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
yeah, that was I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I went. It was an experience, but yeah, I don't know if I'd be ready to do that again. Like the French Quarter specifically, I just yeah. literally walked around it just to spread my energy in a boundary, just to kind of close it off so that it can just kind of do that thing over time to repair the grid there. Because there's always all these little grids within the grid where it's all connected.
Right.
But if you have such fragmented grids, it just wreaks havoc in the areas and on the people in the area as well.
That's so interesting because I think I feel the energy of the collective in different areas. I talk about this a lot. Like LA is great because there's so many people doing so many different things that yeah. you can hop onto any of that energy, but there's enough rich people that you can just, and not like elites, but like, you know, like
wealthy,
made
just
money, wealthy
yeah.
people that it's easy to tap into that if you want. But when I think about places, I can kind of tap into what it is. And I always attributed it to the fact that there's tourists. Like Vegas is gross to me. Like Vegas oh. is so, Vegas is gross, but Vegas's energy is so gross to me. I don't even like to be in the airport.
Yeah.
And it's the gambling is a energy that, I don't know if I was a gambler in a past life or what, but alcohol and gambling are two things that I'm like, ugh, of all, you know, and I yeah. shot meth. So it's a weird thing to be judgmental about, but I like such a dark, sad energy. And I feel like so many people go to New Orleans and get fucked up there.
Yeah.
And then just puke all over the place and stuff. And I feel like it's so, something about that type of energy is like, and where there's been so much trauma. It's like
oh,
you go
God.
Party where they've had so much trauma.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about it's very, like when people are like, you should go, it's so fun. I'm like, it feels sad. Like I don't yeah. even have to go there. It feels fucking sad.
It feels sad. It feels angry. A lot yeah. of fucking anger.
Yeah.
A lot of anger. And because I'm so sensitive and I am a medium to some extent, I don't nurture it.
Yeah,
and
same,
what, yeah,
exactly,
like what, whatever spirits want to come, they can come, but I don't yeah. need to explore it unless my guides want me to. I saw so many things there that I'm not used to seeing. For example, I always forget the name of this woman, but it's that famous French woman who tortured slaves
yeah.
in the French Quarter. Yeah. And they like did a whole AHS yep. season on her. I was walking by that house because I was trying to spread my energy. I didn't want to walk by it, but yeah. I had to. And I started to see paranormal experiences that other people had experienced.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was unnerving. There was one in particular I saw that I wish I could erase from my head. Where I saw there was a woman on the like top, I guess it's a lanai, right? That wraps yeah. all the way around. And she had two babies up there and like bassinets. And I'm seeing this, I assume what was a slave, because it was a black woman, came out onto the lanai and picked up one of the babies. And the mom isn't really paying attention and just comes over the side. And, oh my God. Yeah, that was horrible. I did not wow. have to see that. But it was a paranormal experience. So it wasn't actually happening.
Right.
Right. So yeah, all kinds of things like that. And I went to the Katrina Memorial, mostly to heal just the area. A lot of trauma is still lingering there from,
my God, yeah, I bet.
Yeah. That is probably the most unfortunate thing that the city hasn't recovered and probably never will.
Right.
Even just the markings on houses, if they just got rid of the markings on houses, I bet that would even do a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, where they like wrote what was
like how many were found dead in the house and things like that. Yeah, it was intense. But I went to the memorial to release some of the energy there, and I didn't know where it was located. If I had known exactly where it was located, I don't think I actually would have gone. It's located in a really old cemetery, apparently.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's New Orleans. That's yeah. how they roll, I guess. But this cemetery specifically was meant for like mass graves when there had epidemics of yellow fever and things like that. So I'm going to the memorial and I can just feel it as I'm coming up on it. And I was like, oh no, something feels really, really off.
Oh man.
And I get there and I start seeing a lot of children coming to me because they're, you know, they're in pain. They're also confused. And I realized that there were a lot of low vibrational energies that were kind of harboring the energies that were there.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm here. I just got to do it. And so I'm walking around just trying to spread healing energy. And then I feel something run up on me. And I actually caught a picture of it. Every time I look at it, I still can't quite figure out what it is. It doesn't seem very human, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was an intense trip. It was an intense trip.
Oh my goodness. And you were trying to get away from the earthquake.
Yeah. And then I woke up the next morning to, you know, flooding streets and shit and on tornadoes. And I was like, all right, I'm out.
Oh my goodness. So yeah. Weird how there's just such an energy. I can talk to dead people. I do not enjoy it. I don't, there's like an endless line of them. If you yeah. help one of them, you know, and so then I feel like, am I an asshole? Like, am I the person that doesn't want to help the homeless? You know, but I'm yeah. just like, there's a million of you and you won't go away.
Yeah.
And, I have to sleep with lights on, or like, a kid in my bed. Cause otherwise they'll just fill my room.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then, yeah, there's me. I just don't want to see, I don't like to see anything. I don't want to see it with my eyes. Aliens just showed up in my room right before you got here.
Oh, yeah.
I've been in this apartment too long alone.
Uh-huh.
And certain things, there'll be a loud screeching, any loud screeching sound, which I swear they do, will trigger me being able to see them.
Yeah.
Or there was just a weird thing on Reddit. I was blow drying my hair and flipping through Reddit, and there was a picture of Joe Rogan with a half alien face.
Oh, interesting.
And it creeped me out. And then I was like, oh, God damn it. And then just like my door jam filled up with them. But they're like my guides yeah. or whatever. But I'm like, I don't want to look at you ever. I don't want to look at you. It's fucking creepy. Also, I'm naked and I'm blow drying yeah. my hair. Can I have some privacy?
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it. That's the thing I don't like about ghosts, is because I don't want to look at you. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not scared. But just when you said the thing about running up on you, it's like, it's spooky. I don't want spooky. I have PTSD. I don't want to fucking...
Well, and I really don't like when they show up in their death state like that. That really kind of unnerves me, because sometimes I can almost feel what they were feeling close to death.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially if they died in a very gruesome way. It's like, oh, just don't give me the visual. I'm such a visual person.
They just like show up with an axe in the side of their head.
Yeah. Like, you know, or it's like if they were like, you know, died from some kind of like poisoning or some kind of digestive thing. It's like you see the repercussions of that. And I'm like, I don't need to see
goodness.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, fuck no.
Yeah.
God, that's, I was talking to someone today about, I've noticed that a lot of people, as they're like waking up, they want to move to places like LA. You know, they yeah. want to move to places with larger concentrations of people that are awake.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to this person, I was like, I don't, some of y'all have to live in Arkansas and Wyoming. Like, some of you have to, right? Yeah. Because, like, you know, you got to help the people that are there. I mean, I don't have to.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it was something I was playing with in my mind where I was like, I wonder if we have to, or maybe we all just kind of congregate, because there feels like there's a split happening.
Yeah.
It feels like there is a, not an us and them, but a little bit of a conscious creation of a new world happening for some people, and then other people that choose to stay in this other thing. I want to believe that an earthquake happens and they end up like the leftovers on a different dimension, but nothing is ever that cool.
Right.
You know, some of the things that the aliens told me in 2000, which I'll cut this out because I've said it on every guest, but when they told me that male and female would cease to exist, this was 2000. And so I was like, dicks are going to fall off. You know? And they were like, no, this is a parameter of the game that will go away. And I was like, so somebody have dicks though? I mean, we're going to have dicks.
We kind of need those.
Before I answer, will there be dicks?
Yeah.
And then when the gender is a construct thing started, and then like it was just gone, you know, like gender was just to construct of it was just gone in like a year, I was like, oh shit, nothing is going to be as cool and magic as I think it is, because it's all going to make sense.
Yeah.
Other things they said X generation would live to be 150, the oldest of the X generation would live to be 150, and then after that nobody would die. Like, you would just like opt out. Like, your body wouldn't die. It wouldn't decay.
You just will yourself to keep going in a way.
Yeah. Like, you could just do whatever you want, but we wouldn't age anymore. We wouldn't like rot, wouldn't disease, wouldn't get sick. But I remember when I first started being like, I can go tanning. I'm going to live to be 150. It's like, bitch, you're going to live to be 150 with age spots. But now they're like, yeah, X generation's definitely going to live to be 150. It's like not even that exciting. So then the aliens also said in February that we would split. And I thought something cool might happen. Like, the earth just kicks these motherfuckers off the planet and we get to like just chill and have their big houses. But now I'm like, oh God, we're all just still going to be here, right? We're just not going to perceive each other. That's what it's probably going to be, right?
Yeah.
So should they just all live in Wyoming? Is that... that would be tight. There was something else that I just thought of that I was going to say.
Well, it was interesting because as you were talking about that, I have noticed that, like, you know, the mega cities, they're going to just become bigger, right? Like, we know that just based off of like population growth forecasts. So again, just being the nerd that I am, I studied like mathematics of populations and mathematics of cities. And there is a thing called city death, which we are starting to see and experience. So I have thought about that too, as far as, you know, we have such a massive growing population and megacities are growing, but at the same time, there's already a pattern of city death that will occur.
Does that people leaving?
Like, cities will just start to collapse upon itself because they just can't hold the capacity of people and keep it sanitary at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So then you're going to start seeing, you know, mass amounts of disease start to take over and innovation won't be able to keep up. And then eventually cities will just start to collapse within on themselves.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Have we seen that in America before?
No, but we're seeing it a lot in the different Asian regions. We've been starting to see the beginnings of that, where we're getting a lot more breakouts of disease. And so it's been forecasted, and just, I'm a math nerd as well.
I love it.
From a mathematical standpoint, I'm like, okay, this actually makes sense. Because even when you just go back to the first innovation we've ever had was agriculture. That was the very first thing. And ever since then, it's been a rigmarole of, oh, that created a problem. How do we fix that? Oh, that created another problem and another problem. And that's just a result of that patterning. And so there's this constant need to catch up with innovation and make sure innovation is keeping up the pace of exponential growth. But at some point you can't grow anymore in innovation, because it's like, okay, you grow and then you grow. You're going to have innovation constantly every second at one point, which won't be possible.
Right.
Unless mass amounts of people die, which I think is going to be the case.
Yeah. Is that how you think the split's going to happen?
Yeah.
Is there just going to, and then do you, they talked about another, and I think I've seen this other places too, but another Earth, like they will perceive it that they are on Earth, but they're not. Like yeah. they're just in another karma-based reality.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, I think death is going to be a big part of it. I think that can definitely be possible. But I think that also goes hand in hand with the more we ascend and the more we access these other dimensions or planes or whatever you want to refer to it as, we're going to start existing in that existence or even right. those timelines more so than other people who can't make that jump or make that right. transition. Right? Right. So yeah, in a way we won't perceive each other, but I still believe mass death is going to be a big role in that, a big role in that.
So part of the thing with the parasites, to my understanding, and I don't think anything is fact, but is that the higher dimensional realities are encrypted in pain, and that the only way to get to the higher dimensional realities to be free, to be able to like part of the reason that we're like starting to feel these timelines and perceive these timelines is because we've like leveled up enough to where we're becoming like tuning into the part where we're multidimensional.
Yeah.
And that like, you can't really get up there. If you're a parasite, like you can't really get up there right. if you haven't done the work,
yeah.
that there's a reason that it is excruciatingly painful. And that's to keep all these lower dimensional vampires and everything else from getting access to that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when people are like, you'll never be able to create an Earth where everybody works together. And it's like, but we could.
Yeah.
If everybody woke the fuck up, like if everybody went through what we've gone through in the last 2 years of pain, like if everybody was willing to pay that price.
Yeah.
So I feel like there is like historic corruption of higher knowledge, but it's turned into things like oppressive religions and stuff because it's used by people in that like ego space.
Right.
And my theory is, and I tend to be a little overly optimistic, but I feel like there was something I channeled once about the encryption of pain, the encryption of your, like unlocking your higher dimensional self in pain. So that if you are not doing this Valley of the Shadow of Death, if you're not doing this Dark Night of the Soul, you're not getting access to these levels.
Yeah.
And that the vampires aren't going to do that. They're just not like, if they're capable, I have no idea, but they're not going to do that. And that's why as people are kind of climbing this ladder right now, it's like, why are there 9 of you hanging on me right now?
Yeah. Clinging onto me for dear life.
Like pulling my pants down and shit. And it's like, cause they can't come. They don't get to come is what I think. I think they don't get to come.
I agree. I definitely agree because that requires actually accepting and looking at oneself.
Right.
And parasites, narcissists can't do that. They're incapable right. of doing that. Like literally incapable. Yeah.
But then they serve as these like fantastic mirrors for us to like heal trauma.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, are they just a product of, cause there are some, I think there are some people who just, this is something. Where did I get did I get this from you? It all runs together. And I'm like, I should credit people. Did I not credit people? But twins getting lost, putting themselves into such traumatic, this might be Christina Lopes, but twins putting themselves into such traumatic karmic loads that they one of them gets lost and becomes a narcissist or whatever
yeah.
because they... You know,
unfortunately, I'm pretty sure that's my situation.
Yeah. Oh no.
No, I mean, it is what it is. Right. And I know I can only do me and I can only do my work. And does that affect him in some way? Yeah. But he's so far down the rabbit hole of surrounded by narcissists and karmics and toxicity and becoming, feeding more of that narcissistic traits within himself.
Yeah.
I know he's in a way he does feel a little lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is Christina Lopes. I mean, if you haven't watched her twin videos.
Oh, I'm going to look her up.
They're so fucking good. She has like, it's funny. She doesn't want to, she's a twin. She's in union. She doesn't want to talk about twins. But my favorite part of it is she does two videos when you can tell they're in separation still.
Yeah.
And this is all speculation, so I could be totally wrong. But the language she used, you know, the language that people are in separation use, that it's like, it's about healing yourself. You know? Like, who are you trying to convince? It's the sage advice from somebody who was definitely just, you know, like stalking on Instagram.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's got like long hair, just this very like feminine energy. And then 4 years later, she does like Q&As or she does like top 10 questions.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
like her side of her head shaved. She's just like, she's like this balanced, like, I hate the word fierce, but just this like balanced, bold. You can tell she's like successfully mixed that cup back and forth enough times. Yeah. It's really cool to watch, but she's the one that talks about the eggs with the twins. And then I'm pretty sure she talks about sometimes one of them gets lost.
Yeah.
Because we purposefully put ourselves into like the most traumatic situations. But so where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on YouTube, Patreon. I'm also on BitChute now. I'm trying to like help nudge BitChute along.
What is that?
It's basically just like YouTube, but they don't worry about censorship.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, we need an alternative to YouTube. I can't believe
that you can't curse on YouTube.
Is not cursing?
Well, I was like, a lot of things, but like that one really took me by surprise. I'm like, I can't curse. I can't curse. I don't understand. Like,
I didn't know that was it. Really?
That's one of the many things. But like, you can't talk about politics supposedly. And I'm like, well, what's going to happen to all the political channels if supposedly we can't talk about politics? Like, so we just can't talk about anything that's really going on? Like the reality of stuff? Is that what this is?
My issue, and the comedians talk about this shit constantly, but my issue with this, the mass censorship, is just feels like handing your freedom over. And like nobody has the foresight to realize, like, I get it. I get the Nazis, like whatever, they're bad. I get it.
Yes.
The Alex Joneses though, you want the Alex Joneses screaming crazy shit in the street. Trust me. I don't listen to him, but like you start shutting these guys down and then everything that is a conspiracy. And cause I don't like that shit at all. Like, I don't like, we call everything a pseudoscience conspiracy, whatever. They're coming for Magic and Ascension next. Like anything that doesn't fit in their things. Like it's such an obvious plot to me that like, I don't know. Can't we just like beat them up or something? The censorship, but I had no idea cussing was a thing that's really going to cut into my ideas.
I was reading the rules and guidelines and I was like, there's no words for that. Like, gross. In my opinion, I was really, really
irritated.
What's
the fucking point of YouTube?
Yeah, exactly. What is the fucking point? So BitChute is awesome. There's a lot of people who have political channels that are now moving to BitChute because they don't give, you know, they just don't care. It's a free speech platform, you know, just like how YouTube started initially.
Yeah.
Right.
But these big companies buy them and then that's it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And not to mention the other thing with YouTube that has been really bothersome and unnerving to me is like the subscribing people to channels and unsubscribing to people to channels. I don't know if you've noticed that.
No, I heard you talking about it once.
Yeah. Like all of a sudden I'll, you know, go on my subscription page and I'm like, I've never seen that person before. I've never seen that channel before. And I just have to go and unsubscribe. And it's definitely algorithms for sure. Like, you know, I'm sure they've figured out that I'm brown. So they start subscribing me to like, you know, brown channels, like, so to speak. Right. And I, obviously that's fine if, you know, for that content, but I didn't sign up for that.
Yeah.
Right. That's not what I want to look at. I purely keep it for spirituality and tarot because I only want to use it for like, for what I talk about.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't need to see other stuff. And then they started subscribing me to like more, like liberal political channels. Which again, I don't watch politics on that channel because I keep it for tarot and spirituality. Right. So it's been very kind of just unnerving and intrusive to me.
Oh, weird.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not cool with that, but.
BitChute.
Yeah. BitChute.
All right. Yeah. Let's move the party over there. Maybe I'll just start a BitChute channel. Then you have a Patreon as well, right?
Yeah.
I'm a
Patreon
there.
YouTube. You can find me on Instagram as well and Twitter, Facebook. Yeah, those are the three.
Yeah, I love your Instagram updates also. Well, this is awesome. I hope we can do this again.
Oh, I can't wait to do this again. I can't wait. I feel like there's also like a lot more we could get into.
Yeah, I could have done this for hours. All right, see you guys next week. I might release a bonus episode where somebody interprets my birth chart I did with Elise last week. It just feels narcissistic to release that as an entire episode. It's like, and here's me. Here's my blueprint.
It could be informative.
It was very informative. She's in a karmic astrology, which is very...
That is interesting.
It was really interesting. I was like, oh shit. She had a great explanation for what it is and everything. And then obviously it's my chart, so it's super interesting. We also went back to my near-death experience and she figured out it was... whatever the setup was during my near-death experience was really crazy too. Everything was in the house of death or something. I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, all right, we'll see you guys. Oh, no. If you want a reading, go to jessareed.com. If follow me at Jessareed Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. Follow this podcast for no reason because I never fucking post anything. It's Soberish Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Not Soberish Podcast. Fuck those guys. They have a page and not a podcast. And we'll see you next week. If you live in Bakersfield, buy tickets to my fucking show. You assholes. Like, people message me and like, come to Bakersfield. And then I plan a show in Bakersfield in 2 weeks. And two tickets have been sold. I'm going to fucking cancel it.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
She'll buy a ticket.
This is why people are like, why don't you come to my town? And it's because you'll fail me. You'll fail me. I'll try to come to your town and then you won't buy tickets. Or they buy tickets on the last day. And it's like, okay, well, I haven't slept in 2 weeks because I've been like, I'm going to lose money on this
show.
Right. So if you live in Bakersfield, buy goddamn tickets, please. Thank you very much. Bye.